a mark here for every service to do that. So, all right. There is a handout this evening. So some of you perhaps got one as you came in. But if you didn't, if you'll slip your hand up, and Jason and Frank have those for you. If you guys are running short, Jim had some in his hand somewhere too, so I don't know if you've already collected those up. I ask you to go ahead and turn, if you would, in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. It is sometimes been said that the two elements of the Christian life that run most contrary to the flesh are prayer and outreach, prayer and soul winning. And for most of us, I would suspect that's a pretty accurate assessment. And I don't know, you know, you can speculate on why. I would suggest it's along these lines, probably because those two spiritual disciplines, if you will, more than any other, are thoroughly spiritual endeavors. I mean, there's just nothing there that resonates with the flesh whatsoever. The matter of spending time in prayer with the Lord, the matter of reaching out to others with the gospel. Now, there are other spiritual disciplines that are of great importance. Certainly the matter of reading the Scripture, of studying the Scripture, meditating, memorizing. And that is kind of one of the foundational disciplines for our walk with the Lord. That's how we get to know the Lord. That's how we learn. That's one of the things that God uses to grow us. But the fact is, we can still have multiple motivations. We can approach God's Word for the good principles that are there that just help life to go better, just for the knowledge, for the interesting things. There are other things that can kind of motivate us as well as the right motivation, which is just to meet with the Lord and get to know Him better. And assembling together with God's people for worship, that's something that God tells us we ought to do, one of just those foundational disciplines of the Christian life. But that also has the added benefits, if you will, of, you know, it's fellowship. It's kind of our family. It's like a family gathering, and the music is encouraging, and there's all these other things. But when it comes to time in prayer, there's really no competing motivation other than it is time spent in fellowship one-on-one with our God. And when it comes to reaching out with the gospel, you know, that there's nothing there that has affinity with our human nature. It's something we do because we have a heart for God and want to see others won to Him. So, you know, there's that sense that this matter of prayer and the matter of outreach are really the battlegrounds oftentimes in spiritual life for many, many Christians. And there are other battlegrounds as well, but these are some that really come down to. I mean, if you take a look at the normal weekly activities in your typical church, kind of picture, if you will, a pyramid standing upside down. You know, you got Sunday morning and you got Sunday evening, and we've got you folks here faithfully on Wednesday night. But you know what? You get down in the small pointy part of that pyramid. You know, it's like maybe the Saturday morning men's prayer breakfast. It's maybe like the outreach time Thursday evenings, where we literally kind of winnow down to about a handful of folks. Now those aren't the only ways to deal with prayer. I'm not saying that's the only thing. You know, and there's a lot of issues of life, so I don't want to be imbalanced or heavy-handed about it. But there is a pattern there, and there is a picture there that those are things that don't come naturally to us, and that are struggles for us. And my goal is, frankly, to see that kind of pointy end of the pyramid broadened out a little bit and see us as a church family, as a body of believers, and me as an individual, and you as individuals, to really grow in our burden for time spent in prayer, and to grow in our burden for those around us who need to hear the gospel and to doing something about it. Okay? By God's grace, to actually not just look and say, oh, those people need the gospel, but to say, you know, oh, those people need the gospel, and maybe God is nominating me to take it to them, and to see that burden fleshed out in our practical lives. We have some folks in our church, one in particular who is very burdened for our collective outreach as a church, and he has suggested to me on more than one occasion, you know, Pastor, why don't you preach about soul winning and maybe just some soul winning practical elements. And so in part what we're going to do here for the next maybe 4 or 5 weeks is something to flesh that out a little bit. So tonight we're going to begin a mini-series, if you will, that I have entitled Becoming Fishers of Men. And I never know for sure exactly how things will unfold, but at least at this point I'm envisioning we'll have something like 4 or 5 messages that I am asking God to use in our lives this way. One, to encourage and exhort all of us, myself included, to be more faithful in the important matter of soul winning, of outreach, whatever term you want to use. And secondly, to educate and equip us a little bit to be more effective as we do reach out to folks around us. Now, many of us have been a part of soul winning training sessions that are, 10, 15, weeks long, that involve much. And what I fear sometimes is that we get the view that this is such an overwhelmingly huge responsibility that I'm not sure that I am up to the task. Well, none of us are up to the task. We need God's help. But I think sometimes we get so discouraged and overwhelmed about it that we don't really begin. And so, all my goal is going to be is to realize that, it's not about an elaborate soul-winning scheme. Really, what it comes down to is reaching people with the gospel involves simple faith and a willing heart. And the gospel really is simple. So lest you be intimidated, I'm not going to hand you a list of 57 verses that you need to memorize by next Wednesday night and then stand up and recite them as I randomly call on you. Okay, so we're not going to do that. But we're just going to approach the simplicity of the gospel and some things that I hope will be an encouragement to us that, you know what, if I know the Lord as my Savior, I can witness. I don't need a big plan. If you've got a big plan, praise the Lord. If you're well-practiced, praise the Lord. But, really what we need is just faith to believe that God can do something if we will open our mouths and speak, a willingness to do it, and just some simple truths from the Bible about what it means to know the Lord Jesus as your Savior. So that's just take us a few weeks to just kind of outline some ideas. And mostly, I just want to challenge and encourage us to do what we ought to do, to live the way that we ought to live. So we'll spend some sessions on the practical things intended to get us a little bit more secure, maybe, as we share the gospel with others. We're going to start tonight by considering the reality that as believers, we are all called to catch men. So that's the title of this session tonight, Called to Catch Men. Let's begin with prayer. Our Father, we are thankful that You have saved us. Thankful for each person here who has acknowledged their sin and turned to You in saving faith. They've called upon Your name and You have delivered from the power and penalty of sin. Lord, I'm thankful that as unworthy as we are, and as much as we are prone to failure, that it is Your plan to use us as heralds, as ambassadors, as proclaimers of the good news of Jesus Christ. I pray, Father, that over the course of this evening, and as we consider these things in our own hearts, and over these coming weeks, that You would just rekindle in my heart and in the hearts of these Thy people a fervency and a zeal to see other people won to the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, might we not just believe in it, might we do it by Your grace as You work in our lives. So I pray that You would guide and direct. I pray that Your Spirit would take Your Word and apply it in our individual lives in the way that You know is needful. I don't know the needs of the hearts of these people individually. I have a sense of what would be a challenge for all of us. I pray, Father, that You would use Your Word personally and particularly in each life. That You would cause Your people to be responsive, and submitted, and obedient, and to just trust in that which You desire to do in their lives. I ask Your blessing on this time. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, tonight will be just kind of more of a thematic message, and that's really what this little study will be, rather than something expositional. And what I want us to do tonight is just examine 3 parallel accounts from the Gospels. And you can read them in your Bibles. I've excerpted them on the handout there in front of you. But they're really recounting the same incident, the same frame of time in our Lord's ministry. Let me read this first one here in verses 18 through 22 in Matthew chapter 4. And we're told here that Jesus is walking by the Sea of Galilee and he sees two brethren, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. They were fishermen. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. They were fishermen. He says, I'll make you fishers for men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw two other brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. Now let me have you turn over to Matthew chapter 1. I'm going to read verses 16 through 20. I went back to see exactly how I approached this in our study of Mark. It was a while back, okay? So I couldn't remember, so I realize you wouldn't remember. But I approached it a little bit differently than what we're looking at tonight. So this is good. This will be a fresh look. But Mark chapter 1, verses 16 through 20. Same situation. Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew his brother casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little further thence, he saw James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, who were also in the ship mending their nets. And straightway he called them. And they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants, and went after him. Those two accounts are very, very similar, right? Virtually identical. I mean, some of the words and the details of the translation differ a little bit, but just very much the same way of thinking about it, way of looking at it. Now, one more. I'm just going to read here a verse and a half from Luke chapter 5. You can turn there, or this also is in your handout. And Luke's account is somewhat more elaborate and involves more to it, and maybe next week we'll touch on that a little bit, but for tonight, I just want to kind of focus on the center of it, the heartbeat of it, where Jesus says this unto Simon. He says this to Peter. He says, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. He had just caused them to bring in a great draft. They'd been fishing. They couldn't catch anything. Jesus shows his power. They bring in a great draft of fish. They're amazed. They don't know what to think. Jesus says, fear not. Tonight you caught fish. From henceforth thou shalt catch men. When they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Now, in your handout there's some underlining that I stuck in there, and that just kind of highlights for us our Lord's key point of emphasis. Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. From henceforth, thou shalt catch men. And really, just from those three verses principally, I want to just kind of make some observations about what those statements mean then for us who are followers of the Lord Jesus. So there are in your handout there six sentences, six observations that come from those texts, and we're just going to walk through those. And you'll see in your handout that each of those observations begins with the two words, faithful outreach. And let me just describe what I'm talking about there. Those are just a choice of words. We could say it different ways. But faithful implies really two things. One is faithfulness. I mean, just doing so faithfully as unto the Lord, but also faith-filled. I mean, doing so by faith. Okay, so we're talking about outreach that is dependent on God, but that is done in a consistent way, in a faithful manner, honoring the Lord by doing so. And then by outreach, you might call it soul winning, you might call it evangelism, you might call it giving the gospel, you might call it, as it's alluded to in our text, fishing for men. Okay? That phrase is used, I think, because God is dealing here with fishermen. And so the Lord just kind of takes an analogy and says, you know, you go out, you're fishing for fish, you follow me, we're going to go out fishing for men. So he just kind of follows that same idea. But that's what I am meaning by the word outreach. Reaching out with the desire to see lost people come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Okay? So outreach, though we make opportunities about that at certain times, you know, 7 p.m. on Thursday nights, canvas times, whatever, we sometimes schedule that. But I'm not talking about an event or a location or a particular way of going about it. I'm just talking about having this vision for the lost who are out there and getting out there reaching them with the gospel. Okay, so in whatever venue, whatever way. So first observation, faithful outreach is to be an integral part of every believer's life. Jesus says, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. He says, come after me. I will make you to become fishers of men. And in these verses, we see an immediate connection as Jesus calls upon these men to be His disciples. And of course, being a disciple of Christ affects every element of our life and has all kinds of purposes and involves all kinds of different things. But if we are to be Christ-like and glorify God, we will catch men. We will be fishers of men. I mean, Jesus just ties them together. He says, follow me, be my disciple. And you know, here's what's part and parcel to being my disciple, reaching out to see people won to Christ. Sometimes people will say, well, you know, I don't have the gift of outreach. Let me just say this. Spiritual gifts are for the edification of believers. Therefore, God's work amongst His people. Reaching out to the lost is the responsibility of each and every Christian. If I say, I know the Lord is my Savior, then it is my responsibility to be reaching out. If I say I am a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, then I am to be not only a follower, but a fisher of men. That's true for all of us. So it's not a case of I don't have the spiritual gift. We might say I don't have the natural glibness. Okay, I understand that. Okay, I am personally antisocial would be give you the wrong impression. I am introverted. Okay, I am naturally introverted. I would be much more comfortable just standing against that wall and taking it all in than engaging with a crowd of people. Just, you know, I was telling somebody here this week that I used to be an admiral's aide, and I mandatorily accompanied the admiral to all of these social functions, you know. And I was most comfortable standing over on the wall just watching, talking to no one, okay? That's my comfort zone. But you know what? God doesn't say if you feel like it, if you're comfortable with it, if it fits your personality, go out and reach out to people. He says if you're a follower of me, then your responsibility, then what ought be your burden is to be a fisher of men, to be reaching out to people. Some people say, well, you know, it's for some and not for others. You know, all of those arguments just fall short of just the simple statement. He's, you know, he didn't say, Peter, let me assess your personality. Peter probably was the outgoing, quick-to-speak kind of guy. But I suspect that amongst those dozen disciples, there were some of them who were quite quiet and reserved and didn't find it comfortable to engage with strangers. But he sent them all out. And he called all of them as his followers to be fishers of men. And the same is true for us, folks. We are called to be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ as Christians. To be disciples in earnest, not just in name. And part and parcel to that is reaching out with the gospel. So faithful outreach is to be an integral part of every believer's life. Second, faithful outreach is the result of God's transforming power in a believer's life. The Lord says, I will make you fishers of men. He doesn't say, follow me and then, you know, you need to really work at this fishers of men. I mean, yes, we do need to work at it. But He says, you know what, as you follow me, I will work in your heart such that you become a fisher of men. It's the Lord's transforming work in our lives. He doesn't bind our hands, but that's what He is wanting to accomplish in our lives. That's why you can't say, well, it's not for me. Because if you're saying that, you're really saying that the Lord lacks the power to do what He has said He'll do. He said, if you follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. So if we say, well, I'm going to follow the Lord, but you know, I don't think I can become a fisher of men, we're saying, well, the Lord was just kind of luring us along then and making a promise that He can't keep, saying something that He's unable to do. He assures us that He will do that work in our lives to make us fishers of men if we'll follow, if we'll go, if we will just simply trust Him and allow Him to work. And folks, that is a freeing reality. At least it ought to be. It ought not be a constraining reality or a burdensome thing or a heavy thing. It ought to be a freeing thing to know that, you know what, all I need to do is just be willing. And the Lord's going to give me the words and He's going to change my thinking and He's going to guide my thoughts. And as I do it, He's going to help me get, you know, more comfortable because He's the one who's going to make us become fishers of men. We got to be willing to do it. But it really isn't about I have to figure it out. I have to have all the answers. I need to have all this ability to discern what people are thinking. You know what? The Lord gives what we need when we need it, but He will make us to become fishers of men. Third, faithful outreach requires submission to the leading of Christ. Okay, Matthew, he says, follow me. Mark, come ye after me. God calls. God promises to transform. But Peter and James and John and Andrew had to follow. They had to respond. They had to answer that call. And folks, God calls you and He calls me to be fishers of men. And He promises you and He promises me that He will make us such if we will allow Him. And He tells us that, you know what, I'll make you to become a fisher of men. And then where it comes back to is, so I've got to respond. I can make up my list of excuses. You know, I can resist. I can push back. I can say God can't do it, won't do it. What I'm really saying is I won't do it. I'm unwilling. And then we don't see that transforming power of the Lord working in our lives in that way. So there is this need for us to just simply submit to Christ's leading. When He says, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men, we need to follow Him and let Him make us fishers of men. The Lord didn't force Himself on Simon, Andrew, James, and John. He called them. He prompted them. He drew them. He demonstrated His power to them by the draft of fishes that they brought in, but He didn't force them. You know, neither I nor anybody can compel anybody in this room to reach out to people with the gospel. And the Lord even chooses not to compel in the sense of forcing your hand. But He does challenge you and call you, encourage you, exhort you through His Word. And we have a choice to make. Lord, am I going to submit and acknowledge that this is something You'd have for me to do and then trust Him to make that change in our lives and move us in that direction? And that kind of submission involves submission in the broad sense, you know, embracing the Lord's mission. All three Gospels give us some of the Synoptic Gospels, John as well. But you know, we're just looking at the Synoptic Gospels tonight, give us some way of articulating what we might call the Great Commission. Luke 19 says, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost, and there's a desire that we would preach that same gospel of repentance and reach out in the same way that He does. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. This is the passage we call the Great Commission. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. And in Mark's variation, Mark 16, 15, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And that was characteristic of Jesus' life, going out, reaching people of every walk of life, constantly sharing with them the truth, presenting Himself to them as the one who could save their souls, seeking and saving the lost, and He asks us to join Him in His mission. That's the co-mission. Mission with Christ. Just sharing in what His purpose was while He walked this earth, and that ought to be our purpose as we walk this earth. So we need to submit in that broad sense of just sharing in the ministry of our Lord. And then we need to submit in the particular sense, being sensitive to the Lord's leading. You know, following His example of when in the providence of God the Father, Lord Jesus, you know, sits down at a well and there's a woman there. He takes that as, here's an opportunity. He's got a heart for her. He's burdened for her. Now, most of us have experienced the situation where we are maybe in conversation with somebody or find ourselves side by side with somebody and you feel God prompting you to say, you know, give them a tract. Or, you know, speak a word of witness to them. Or tell them about what Christ is, that whatever. And, you know, the old flesh says, well, yeah, but you don't really know them that well. How are you going to get started? The excuses are manifold. And you know, I've experienced them. I'm assuming that you have too. You know, maybe you all don't have those same kind of battles, but, you know, I know what that's like. And there is that time where we recognize, you know, God has orchestrated these events. And we need to submit. He didn't put you in. I have had times when I have selfishly hoped. Nowadays, it does not happen ever anymore. But there was a day when you could actually fly in an airplane and have seats empty next to you. you know, and you can sprawl out a little bit and just be uninterrupted and get some good sleep, you know. And I will admit, you know, I had times when I just wanted to sleep, and I was hoping nobody would sit beside me, because if they sat beside me, then I'd have that battle. Oh, I really should start a conversation with this person. And, you know, you have that struggle, that internal struggle. Nowadays, the airlines have solved that for us. Every flight is, you know, 99.9% with plenty of standbys, so you always sit next to people, you know, and that's good. And we ought to take that as, you know, here is God creating opportunities for us to share Christ with these people, you know, whatever the setting might be. But we need to submit to that. And, you know, our minds are great rationalizers. We can have every excuse in the book why it doesn't make sense, why not now, whatever it is. But the fact is, what that is disobedience. Not embracing the mission that Christ has given to us to share in His mission of sharing the gospel with other people. So faithful outreach requires submission to the leading of Christ. Fourth, faithful outreach develops through a process of growth. And you say, where do you find that? Well, Mark 1:17, Jesus gives this assurance to His followers. He says, I will make you to become fishers of men. And the implication there is, as you follow me, as you walk with me, as you observe me, as you listen to me, as you obey me over this process of time, more and more you will find yourself becoming a fisher of men. And we ought to be doing it all the time, but we're going to find that, you know, as we do that, there is a growth in how God uses us sometimes in reaching people. I mean, it's not a divine infusion of soul-winning giftedness, right? You know, it's not like, okay, Lord, you know, give me that zap of whatever it is so that this will just be easy. You know, it isn't like that. You know, I talked about that it's not a spiritual gift. It's not some miraculous single event where all of a sudden everything is just different and, you know, no, it is a process of developing a habit of living where we realize, here's an opportunity as God is giving me to share the gospel with somebody, and I do it. You know, I might fumble around. I may say something awkward, whatever, but you know, I'm going to do that. And as we are doing that, we see, as we are following Christ, He is making us to become more and more, day by day, increasingly fishers of men. That's where the idea of, you know, equipping and experience has its place. I mean, there is a place for, you know, for preparing. And you know, one of my former pastors or assistant pastors or something used to say that, you know, you can't shoot the gospel gun without bullets. You know, and that was his way of saying you should have tracts in your pocket. You know, how can you give out tracts if you don't have them with you? You know, I mean, and sometimes the tract is the best means that you have. And so, I mean, there is a place for being ready and you know, kind of having as part of our life's purpose to always be ready to give an answer to every man, whether they ask us or not, but share with them the truth of the hope that's in us and what Christ has done for us. But you know what? It starts by going fishing, if you will. And again, I don't necessarily mean that in the sense of a specific time and place, but I mean having that mindset and that view and that vision of, I want to reach out to people. Whether it's in an organized way, whether it's in a spontaneous way, but I want to be reaching out to people, and we got to start going fishing. My grandfather was a great fisherman, and he loved fishing. And he tried to gently help me to love it. But for me, as a little kid, I found it incredibly boring. Okay, and so I just wasn't all that interested. And he wasn't a heavy-handed guy, so we didn't do much fishing. And when we did, I found it boring. And so I never became a fisherman. And if you were to try to convince me to go fishing today, if I did it, it would probably be because I feel like I need to support this church member who loves fishing and wants me to go with him. It wouldn't be because I say, all right, fishing, I can't wait. Okay? And if I were to go, I would have no clue what kind of bait to use. And you know, there's maybe about three kinds of fish that I could maybe identify on sight. One of them would be the bullhead. Okay, I don't know do you have bullheads in these parts? Okay, yeah, okay, you know, maybe a perch, maybe a crappie, maybe I could tell a northern pike. I don't know. You know, my grandfather tried to teach me these things, but you know, I wasn't interested. I don't know how to clean a fish. I have no desire to clean a fish. Okay, some of you maybe love that kind of thing. But see, I never went. I never really did it. I never developed that sense of, you know, it was part of who I am. And the same is true, you know, if we never try to reach out to people with the gospel, we say, ah, it's not for me, it's boring, I don't like it, that makes me uncomfortable, whatever, and we don't do it. Well, then we are hindering what God wants to do to make us to become fishers of men. If you're going to become a fisher of men, it starts out by going fishing. If you never go fishing, it's hard to be a fisherman. You know, if you're sitting throwing the ball against the concrete wall while Grandpa is out fishing, you know, it's not improving you as a fisherman. And so it's got to begin by just saying, you know, Lord, this is something you want to do in my life. Something I should be doing. Something that you say that you'll equip me to do it, and you'll empower me to do it, and you'll work through me. You know, but if I never step out of the comfort zone and go fishing, I'm not going to learn how to fish. I'm not going to become a fisherman, if you will. So faithful outreach develops through a process of growth. Now you may say, I feel really insecure about this, even fearful. Yep, me too, today. I mean, you know, going out a lot of times. Still, same thing. And I remember, and I probably told you this story before, a dear friend of mine when we lived in Connecticut. This was a guy that if you wanted to walk through an area that was fraught with gangs, I would have gladly walked next to him. You know, the guy had the broadest shoulders. You know, he was a little bit shorter than me, but I mean, this guy was broad and you know, strong. And in fact, when I first met him, he kind of looked a little bit like Charles Manson, you know, he kind of had the wild hair, whatever, and the Lord saved him. And eventually reached a point where he was burdened that, you know, I probably should go fishing. And so for a while, he and I started, you know, I had been going for a while. My pastor had gone with me some, and, you know, and I had gotten a little bit of a sense of it. And so he and I went. And, you know, here is this guy who I felt very secure with, and he was insecure as all get out. You know, I mean, looked tough, looked strong, but this was not his comfort zone. And we were in an area that had much, much, much Roman Catholicism. In fact, I can remember one time we were on a cul-de-sac, went to the first house, talked to the people. I am convinced that they had, you know, an intruder hotline, because as we stepped away and we're walking down the street, all of a sudden you see the blinds are just going down, house after house after house. All the blinds are going down and nobody is answering the door. So, you know, I don't know that, maybe perhaps that was just a coincidence, but you know, in my mind I'm thinking that as soon as we walked away from this first house, they picked up the phone and called the neighbors, you know, and said, "Hey, these people are going to come, they're going to try to talk to you about religion, you know, don't talk to them." I don't know. But I remember, you know, we would experience that, and you know, Joe and I went soul winning a long time, and he was just not comfortable with talking. You know, we'd knock on doors and people, not interested, not interested, not interested, not interested, not interested. Finally, I said, "Joe, the next door is yours." You know? So here's this burly guy, and he is, you know, literally shaking, you know, and he knocks on the door, you know, and the people say whatever, and he says something, fumbles something out, and they say, "Come in. We have never experienced that before." And he turns around and he says, "What do I do now?" I said, "We go in, you know. This is what we've been waiting for." But you know, it's just a matter of getting out there and doing it. And it's not comfortable. And it's not easy. Maybe for some, you know, some people are very, very glib, and maybe it comes more natural for some. But I mean, for most of us, it's not a natural thing. But you know, if we go, God will make us to become fishers. And there will be that process of growing through it, and there will be opportunities. And doors will open. And people will hear the gospel, and people will be saved. But it starts with going. That's the beginning point. If you never start, you won't grow. And you won't experience God's powerful working in your life and through your life. Fifth, faithful outreach begins with an immediate and purposeful step of obedience. You think about these disciples. Jesus said, "Follow me." It says immediately, straightway. Those are interpreting the same, translating the same Greek word. Okay, just right away, right now, the disciples followed. Okay? I think what I will do for us for next week is prepare a little record sheet. And don't hear this and then not come back next week, okay? But challenge you about giving out tracts. And we'll start, you know, some of you probably do that very, very faithfully. Okay? But I'm guessing there's some of us that don't. You know, so maybe we say, how about, okay, goal, you know, we're going to put a track in somebody's, well, at least one person's hand this week, you know, and the next week we're going to have a goal, I'm going to put a track in at least two people's hands this week, and just kind of try to develop that habit of going in that sense. There's many ways to go, but that's a way to try to go out and fish for men, is at least by handing a piece of literature, a gospel leaf, something that shares with them the truth. And you know, as we begin doing those kinds of things, we see God opening our mouths and opening people's hearts, and opportunities will develop. But it begins by taking immediate and purposeful steps of obedience. If you wait until you feel like doing it, you wait in a long time. You know, kind of like waiting for the Cubs to win the series, okay? It's a long wait, okay? And it takes just the determination that, you know what, Lord, this is what you want me to do. Straightway, I'm going to do that. So let me encourage you, don't wait until next week till I really challenge you. You know, track racks right out here. Pick up a couple tracks. Say, Lord, straightway, immediately, let me take a step. Let me start on this path of going right now. And let God begin then that process of growth in my life in this area. Let me begin to experience His power. Let me begin to see what He wants to do in and through my life. And let me just say, you know, if you're interested, if you're not interested, but you think, you know, I probably should be interested, okay, in going, you know, as part of our church outreach, you know, just if you talk to myself, talk to Pastor Estep, talk to some of our folks that go very, very faithfully. And, you know, people would be happy to have you go along. Just, you can be a silent partner for a while until you kind of get a feel. That's okay. That's okay. But start going. Make an immediate step now. You know, don't put it off. If it's easy to make excuses, and then the excuses just cascade. So, you know, we need to just respond as the Lord prompts us. Six, faithful outreach occurs when things of lesser importance are set aside. Now, you digest that statement, and let me read these verses to you. Okay, Matthew 4:22, and they immediately left the ship and their father, that's their employment and their father, and followed him. Mark 1:20, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants and went after him. Luke 5:11, they forsook all and followed him. Now, I have said faithful outreach occurs when things of lesser importance were set aside. These men stepped away from things that were of great importance. When I say lesser importance, that doesn't mean no importance. That doesn't mean no value. There's many demands on our life and on our time, and it's easy for us to say, I've got all these important things to do. But you know, the fact is, our Lord's heart is that we would reach people with the gospel. And if we don't at some point acknowledge that that is more important than a whole lot of other, compare, you know, important things, but, you know, father, employment, employee, those things Jesus puts in perspective here as lesser than importance than following Him and becoming fishers of men. So we got to be honest enough to say that, you know what, maybe it used to be, it was Monday night football. Now there's, you know, Sunday night, Monday night football, and there's Thursday night, Monday night football, and there's whatever night, Monday night. But, you know, maybe reaching out to somebody with the gospel is more important than Thursday night football. Maybe. Huh? You know, there are things in our life that we count kind of important that are clearly, by comparison, unimportant. Small things. And we need to be honest enough to say, you know what, it is important to the heart of our Savior to reach people with the gospel. And that means that maybe I can be inconvenienced a little bit. It means maybe I can step outside my comfort zone a little bit. That means maybe I can give up some of these things that are of lesser importance in order to do that which is of greater and ultimate importance. Peter, James, John, Andrew, they were fishermen. I think they loved their job. I think they did it well. You know, it was their livelihood. It was their family heritage. That was the way they had grown up there on the Sea of Galilee. fishing for fish was what they knew and loved. Remember about Peter in John chapter 21 when things are kind of falling apart. What does he do? I'm going back fishing. That's where I'm comfortable. That's where I know what to do. That's their comfort zone. And Jesus says, you know what? Step away from your comfort zone. You're fishing for fish. Fine. You do a great job. Doesn't mean they never fished for fish again. But he says, you know what? There's a greater calling in your life. You follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. That's more important. You'll still maybe be involved in these other things. I think these men cared for families, and it wasn't that they abandoned their father and never had anything. That's not the point. But the point is that there are things that in the eyes of our Lord are of supreme importance, of greater importance. And sharing the gospel with others is pretty important. And it ought cause us to sometimes set aside other things of lesser importance to have that purpose to join in our Lord's commission and go out and reach people with the gospel. Mark 8, verses 34 and 35 says, when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. You know, and the Lord sometimes asks us to do things that are hard for us, that are uncomfortable for us, that are a sacrifice for us if we are indeed His followers. And so, you know, for some this might be just a huge step that you can't fathom. But it will be worth it. You know, there is a cost, but there is nothing of greater value and nothing that will ultimately bring you greater joy. If you turn to John chapter 4, and we'll need to wrap up here. But this is a passage that has always just stirred my heart. It's actually the part at the conclusion, after Jesus has talked with the Samaritan woman at the well. So it's after that, the part that I want us to look at here, starting in verse 28. John chapter 4, verse 28. So that woman, as we refer to her as the woman at the well, she left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men of the city, verse 29 of John chapter 4, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they, these men, went out of the city and they came. Literally it says, they were coming unto him. In the meanwhile, in other words, as these men are walking towards Jesus from the city, in the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. They brought him food. They know he hasn't eaten in a while. They appeal to him to eat. Verse 32, but he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples, in their normal kind of missing the point way, they said one to another, have any men brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. And we say, what work? The work of the harvest. Verse 35, he says, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, already unto harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. So here's the imagery. Jesus has talked to this woman. She's gone back to the city. She has reached out to the people in her community. They are walking literally towards Jesus at that very moment. His disciples come with food. They're appealing to him to eat. Now, the picture I have in my mind is Jesus is standing there. The disciples are facing them. And behind their backs is this crowd of people coming out from the city. And they're saying, you know, eat. And he says, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Here they come right now. My meat is the harvest of these people. You know, that's far more important than this physical food. And they kind of miss the point. But Jesus is seeing there, here are people with a need to hear the gospel. And even though physical sustenance is important, that's nothing compared to the importance of reaching these people with the gospel. And he says, and you know, as you enter into that harvest, there is joy for those who are harvested, and there is joy for the harvester. I think that it brought our Savior great pleasure and great joy as He won people to Himself. Now, let me give you one other data point. Think about the message of Jesus' parables in Luke chapter 15. the parables of the lost things. There's a lost coin. There's a lost sheep. There's a lost prodigal son, a lost young man. And the message in all three of those parables is that when the lost is found, there's great rejoicing among the angels in heaven. We're told that in connection with those parables. And you know, those angels rejoicing in heaven are rejoicing because they are reflecting the face of God Himself, who also is rejoicing. And you know, folks, as much as there are times when I don't feel like going out, but you know, there is no greater sense of joy than going out, sharing the gospel with somebody, and seeing them trust Christ. And it's not far behind it, even if the person doesn't trust Christ, but they listen attentively to the gospel, and you know that the seed of the Word of God has been sown in their life, and God's Spirit is at work. And we sow, and we water, and God, in His timing, brings the increase. But those are joyful and encouraging things. And I dare say this, and I'll make a dogmatic statement. I would dare say that there has never been a Christian who has abandoned his football for a night to go out soul winning, won somebody the Lord, who says, you know, I wish I had stayed home and watched the Packers. I suspect that has never happened. That thought has never crossed somebody's mind who has gone out, even if reluctantly, shared the gospel with somebody, seen someone trust Christ, you know, whatever they stepped away from to do that, there's going to be joy in their soul. God tells us that. Jesus illustrates that. That it is a joyful thing to see the gospel go out and change lives. So folks, faithful outreach is to be an integral part in all of our lives. It's the result of God's transforming power in our lives. We need to submit to the leading of Christ, realize that then He will work that process of growth. But we've got to start. We've got to be obedient. It's a matter of a purposeful and immediate step of obedience. And faithful outreach occurs when things of lesser importance are set aside. So that's my challenge for us, folks, is that we would begin now in greater measure. Many of you are already doing this very, very faithfully. But I think we would all recognize there's greater need in our lives. And maybe for some of us there's a need to just get started with some real basic steps. You know, wherever we are in our Christian experience right now, God would have us to just take those steps of faith and obedience to reach out with greater fervor, with greater zeal, with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So, application. There's a bunch of these sitting out at the reception center. There's various gospel tracts. We actually had somebody take quite a few, so we're depleted right now, but we're getting more. But there are gospel tracts, you know. If one strikes your fancy because you think it's attractive, fine. Whatever will help you to feel like, you know, I'm burdened to share this with somebody else. But let's just begin now to take whatever those steps are. Whatever the next step for us would be. You know, maybe that's coming out Thursday night. Maybe that's, you know, giving a tract tomorrow. Maybe that's talking to the neighbor that we know and for months we've been thinking we ought to talk to him, but we haven't. Whatever it might be, but taking those steps of obedience and faith to share the gospel with others. Let's close with prayer. Father, we're thankful for the truth of Your Word, and we're thankful that You came to seek and to save the lost. And You died that we might have eternal life. And You died so that others all around us might have eternal life as well. Give us a vision, a burden for these folks that You bring across our paths. Might we just trust You and see You work in our lives as we share the gospel with others. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.